All right, my name is David Ponsar. I'm the HIV and STD Prevention Program Coordinator at Access, which is in Dearborn, Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit. And I'm going to talk about a project that we did last summer in collaboration with the STD division of the State Health Department in program collaboration and service integration. So Access and Michigan Department of Community Health have been longtime partners. We have been funded by MDCH to provide highly targeted HIV prevention services since 1993. So last year's numbers in 2010, it's a relatively small program, but it allows us to be pretty flexible and nimble in how we provide services. We provided HIV testing to 238 individuals, 67% Arab Chaldean, which is our primary target population, 90% MSM with a 1.26% new positives. Since we implemented this program collaboration service integration model, our numbers have significantly increased. Our year to date, I just pulled this up this morning, 133 HIV tests, 100 of them were MSM. Our seropositivity for HIV among MSM was 6%, and gonorrhea and chlamydia in urine was 11%, syphilis was 5%, and hepatitis C was 2%. So in 2011, we requested technical assistance and support to integrate gonorrhea and chlamydia screening into our National Testing Day activities because we had the capacity to provide syphilis and hepatitis screening because of our clinical staff. And GC screening was a barrier because the cost of the test, we were being billed $38 per test. So clients, especially clients without insurance, were not taking these tests, young MSM specifically. And so we had asked for support to be able to provide that as part of our National Testing Day activities to make it a comprehensive service. So MDCH provided collection kits, laboratory services, and the medications for clients who tested positive. Some of the clients didn't access services in our clinic because of cultural issues in the Arab American community, dealing with homosexuality and being associated with HIV. Things of that nature. So this picture up here was our intake form at our empowerment space. When they first came in, they would get the urine sample and get their file, and we had set up stations where they would get their samples, go in for a rapid HIV test, and then go back to the event, which was actually a barbecue. This was our promotional material for the event at the Empowerment Project. So in 2010, the lab had validated rectal and pharyngeal swab specimens. And so what we did was we collected urine and pharyngeal swabs on each client. This is another one of our stations. The first one we collected urine. This is where we collected blood samples for syphilis and hepatitis. They'd move on again to the next station and get their throat swabbed, and then they would go in to the office and do their rapid HIV test. So from June to September of 2011, we collected 227 GCCT specimens from 154 unique individuals, 121 urine specimens, and 100 pharyngeal specimens were collected. So we engaged clients at 10 different sites, starting with our empowerment project. And then we partnered with two other empowerment projects in our area, an LGBT homeless and runaway shelter, three bars, a transgender health fair, our local bathhouse, and our main clinic location in Dearborn. The clients that tested positive were treated at our clinic, and my staff did partner interviews and notifications and the follow-up testing on those. So partners responded very well because of our reputation in the community. So when we called the clients and said, you were named as a partner of somebody who had been diagnosed with an STD and we'd like to do your screening. They were very receptive, and a lot of them came even the same day that we called them. What's up on the screen there is the takeaway card that we would give them. They do the rapid HIV test. We assign them a number, which would be their client number, label all of their specimens with that client number, and they can call in, give us their name, their client number, and their birth date, and that's how we verify their identity to give them their results over the phone. So what we found was that positivity was highest for pharyngeal, gonorrhea, and chlamydia at 8.5%, and this was across the board. GC positivity in Michigan public sites in 2010 is 3.5%, so we had a significantly higher number than the statewide average. What was interesting to us is that our positivity for GC and CT in urine was surprisingly low at 1.9 and 2.5%. And what was really amazing, what surprising to us, is that all of our clients that tested positive for pharyngeal gonorrhea or chlamydia, their urine screens were negative. So what we did after that is we asked all the clients who were positive for gonorrhea and chlamydia in the throat to name their partners that they gave oral sex to in the last 90 days. And we did follow-up testing with as many of those partners as we could find. We did urine screens on them, and none of them were positive. So we concluded that those were latent infections that were over 90 days old. So conclusions. Integrating gonorrhea and chlamydia screening in community-based organizations, especially in a field setting, identified significant undiagnosed infections. Our clients were very receptive to receiving this screening outside of the doctor's office. The majority of the clients that we saw would not have come to our clinic. They would not have come to the health department. They were asymptomatic. They had no idea that they had a pharyngeal infection. So it was very informative. The implications, AIDS service providers or AIDS service organizations are trusted providers in the MSM community. Rising rates of syphilis and HIV co-infection and the high number of cases that we identified in this project call for strengthening partnerships between public health departments and AIDS service organizations to increase access to those screening activities in these populations. Because, like I said, most of these clients would not have otherwise received this service. And what you see in the bottom corner of the screen is our logo for our syphilis elimination program that we recently started, based on Facebook, since most of our positives that we got were from empowerment projects, young people under 25. We based it on something that they could relate to. This is one of our ads for Don't Share Syphilis, and it's part of the Dislike Syphilis campaign. There's a URL where they can go to the website and they can request an appointment. It lists all of our screening hours and locations, and they can click a button and request an appointment. We will do the testing either in any of those three locations or one of our regularly scheduled testing locations, because we do regular testing at the bathhouse and also at the LGBT Community Center. But we will also meet clients out in the field if they need us wherever they're at. So acknowledgments, the people from the health department, Amy Peterson, Chris Judd, Katie McComber, my staff, our doctor in the clinic, and ConnectMe, the Rec Boys, Young Brothers United are all the empowerment projects that we worked with. Ruth Ellis Center is our runaway homeless shelter. The LGBT Community Center and the bathhouse where they allowed us to do all these screenings. The last thing that I wanted to tell you is about the different pockets of population that we served, because that was one thing that was very interesting to me. Because the results were consistent across the board, The bathhouse population was primarily Caucasian, over 40. My empowerment program is primarily Arab American, under 25. The Rec Boys and Young Brothers United are primarily African American, under 25. And Ruth Ellis Center is a significant transgender population, male to female transgender, up to 21. And so in these populations that really don't intersect to have the same result consistently across the board, that was very interesting to me. All right, so any questions, comments?
Thank you. It's a really nice example of implementation of this innovative service in the community. We probably only have time for one question, so you go ahead.
That's great work you're doing. So when you're, and you may have covered this if you did, I'm sorry, but when you're doing off-site testing, how did you handle the logistics of collecting the urines and keeping it confidential and transporting things like that?
We have the gen probe urine that we send off. So we would give them the cup, and we would transfer it to the tube before we leave. So we could have tube racks in our cooler, like a cooler with the ice pack in the bottom and the tube rack. We'd label each specimen with the number, and we have a sheet that they fill out in the beginning with name, address, phone number, and we put their client number on the top. So as we collect their specimens, blood specimens, urine, and pharyngeal swabs, we label them with the numbers and then just fill the rack. So when we get back to from the outreach setting to the office and we have to go through the requisition forms, we can match the client's name and address and demographic information with the client number to the specimens that are in there, and then send everything out. It took us a little bit of time. It took us probably two tries before we really got a system down. But once we got it down, it just went like clockwork, and we just do it without even thinking about it now. Thank you.